بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نفس گرم شما جوانان عزیز امروز در این حسینیه یادآور و نشانه همان حماسه و شوری است.
November 3rd, 2013. The following is the full text of the speech delivered on November 3rd, 2013 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with high school and university students. This meeting was held on the occasion of National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Today, the warm presence of you, dear youth, in this Husseiniyah is a reminder and a manifestation of the epic and enthusiasm which has been a supporter and a guarantor of the revolutionary movement of the Iranian nation over the course of many years, from the beginning of the revolution up until today. The great blessing of God on our country and on the Islamic Republic is the existence of youth with their clear, strong, and reasonable motives, with their pure hearts, and with their sincere intentions. Our meeting today has been scheduled on the anniversary of the events of the 13th of Aban, which occurred over the course of different years, before and after the victory of the revolution in the country. There are three events: Imam's exile in the year 1343, the ruthless slaughter of students in Tehran in the year 1357, and the courageous movement of students in capturing the den of espionage in the year 1358. Each of these three events was, in some way, related to the government of the United States of America. In the year 1343, Imam, may God bestow paradise on him, was exiled because of his opposition to capitulation, which meant preserving the security of American agents in Iran and their judicial immunity. So this event was related to America. In the year 1357, the regime, which was dependent on America, killed students on the streets of Tehran, and the asphalt of these streets was colored with the blood of our teenagers. This was done by America in order to defend the regime, which was dependent on it. This event was also related to America. The event in the year 1358 was a counterattack. Our courageous and religious youth attacked the U.S. Embassy and discovered the truth and identity of this embassy, which was the den of espionage, and presented this fact to people throughout the world. In those days, our youth called the U.S. Embassy the den of espionage. Today, after the passage of 30-plus years since that day, the name of U.S. embassies in countries which have the closest relationship with America, that is to say, European countries, has become the den of espionage. This means that our youth were 30 years ahead of the rest of the world. This event was related to America as well. These three events were related in different ways to the government of the United States of America and its relationship with Iran. Therefore, the 13th of Aban, which is tomorrow, was named Day of Fighting Against Arrogance. What does arrogance mean? Arrogance is a Quranic term. The word arrogance has been used in the Holy Quran. An arrogant individual, an arrogant government, and an arrogant group of people means those individuals and those governments which intend to interfere in the affairs of other human beings and other nations. They interfere in all the affairs of other nations in order to preserve their own interests. They think that they are free to do anything, and they grant themselves the right to impose different things on other nations, and to interfere in the affairs of other countries, and they do not answer to anyone. This is the meaning of arrogance. At the opposite end of the scale, there is a group of people who fight against arrogance. What does fighting against arrogance mean? Primarily, it means refusing to give in to this bullying. The meaning of fighting against arrogance is not convoluted and it is not complicated. Fighting against arrogance means the refusal of a nation to give in to the interference and imposition of an arrogant power, individual, or government. This is the meaning of fighting against arrogance. By Allah's favor, when I have the opportunity in the future, I will have a detailed discussion about arrogance and fighting against arrogance with you, youth, and students. Now, there is no time. This is a brief definition of arrogance and fighting against arrogance. The people of Iran consider themselves to be fighters against arrogance because they have not given in to the imposition of the government of America. The government of America is an arrogant government. It grants itself the right to interfere in the affairs of other countries. It wages wars and it interferes in the affairs of other countries. Today, you can see that this goes beyond the borders of Africa, Asia, and Latin America. It has reached Europe. They interfere in their affairs as well. The Iranian nation stood up against the arrogance that the government of the United States of America showed. It stood up against the interference and bullying that it caused, and it stood up against the domination that it had achieved over our dear country in the course of many years. The Taghuti and monarchical regime was a regime which was dependent on America without any domestic support. By relying on America, they did whatever they wanted in Iran. They oppressed the people, usurped their rights, and practiced discrimination amongst them. They prevented the country from achieving growth and making progress, which was the natural and historical right of the people, in order to promote the interests of America within Iran. The Iranian nation stood firm, and it carried out a revolution. Then, it cut out the roots of arrogant powers in the country. It was not like a number of other countries which confronted arrogance at first, but which left it unfinished. Of course, these countries have received a blow because of this. When I was present in a country, whose name I do not want to mention, which had fought against the English for many years, which had put an end to the oppression of the English by fighting against them, and which had achieved independence, I saw that they had put up a statue of an English commander in an important recreational center. I said, "What is this?" And this center was named after this arrogant and colonialist commander who had committed thousands of crimes within that country. Of course, they did not gain any benefit from this consideration and compromise. That is to say, this country was, and still is, under pressure. Compromising and showing leniency towards arrogant powers will bring no benefits for any country. The Islamic Republic of Iran and the Great Revolution carried out by the people of Iran confronted American arrogance, and it did not leave this task unfinished because it had felt the blow which the Americans had dealt over many years on its skin and flesh. It knew who and what these people are. The arrogant outlook which the Americans have adopted and which has continued since decades ago until today has made all nations in the world have a feeling of mistrust and hatred towards the government of America. This is not particular to our country. Any nation which trusted America received a blow, even those who were America's friends. In our country, Dr. Mossadegh trusted and relied on the Americans so that he could free himself from the pressures of the English. Instead of helping Dr. Mossadegh, who had trusted them, the Americans allied themselves with the English. They dispatched their agents to our country, and they launched the coup d'etat of the 28th of Mordad. Mossadegh trusted them, and he received a blow for that. Even those who were on friendly terms with America and who had trusted this country received a blow. The Taghuti regime had a very close relationship with America. However, the greed of America exhausted them as well. As I said, they imposed capitulation, the judicial immunity of American agents, on this regime, and they had to accept this because they had no other source of support except for America. The meaning of capitulation is that if an American sergeant slaps a high-ranking Iranian officer across the face, no one has the right to sue him. If an American agent of low rank shows transgression towards an honorable Iranian man or woman, no one has the right to sue him. The Americans say, "You do not have the right to do this. We ourselves will resolve this issue." A people cannot be humiliated more than this. They imposed this on Iran, which was their friend. They did not even show mercy to their friend. They threw Mohammad Reza out of their country after he fled from Iran and spent a short time in America. They did not let him stay. They did not even show a little bit of loyalty to him. They are such a people. Nations and even governments do not trust America because of this behavior and this attitude, which can be seen in its policies. Anyone who trusted America received a blow. Therefore, today, America is the most hated global power among nations. If a fair and healthy public opinion poll is carried out among all nations in the world, I do not think that the negative scores of any nation equal the negative scores of the government of America. Today, this is the condition of America throughout the world. You have heard the statements that the Europeans make against the Americans. Therefore, the issue of fighting against arrogance and the National Day of Fighting Against Arrogance is a fundamental issue, one that is based on correct analyses and statements. And you, dear youth, and the millions of youth throughout the country who are students like yourself, should have a correct analysis of these events. Well, the youth of the early years of the revolution did not need analyses. Everything was clear to them because they had witnessed everything with their own eyes. They had witnessed the presence of the Americans and Savak, which had been taught by the Americans themselves. But today, you should think, analyze, and be careful. This should not only be in words. It should be clear why the people of Iran are opposed to arrogance, why they are opposed to the positions of the United States of America, and what their hatred results from. Today's youth should understand this correctly by carrying out research. I would like to raise a few points about our current issues with America, which are a source of discussion these days. There are certain questions in the minds of the people. First, I want to offer an important and necessary piece of advice. No one should think that the negotiating team of our country have compromised with any other party, which includes America. The six governments, which are known as the P5 plus one. This is wrong. They are the agents of the Islamic Republic of Iran. They are our own children, and they are the children of the revolution. They are carrying out a mission, and the responsibility which they have undertaken is difficult, and they are carrying out this responsibility, which falls on their shoulders with many efforts. Therefore, one should not weaken and insult them and use certain terms, which we sometimes hear, such as the notion that they have compromised with the enemy and other such things, against an agent who is carrying out a task and who is in charge of an affair. The things that are said against them are not true. You should pay attention to the fact that the current negotiations with these six countries, which includes America, are only about the nuclear issue and nothing else. At the beginning of this year, I said in Holy Mashhad that there is nothing wrong with negotiations on particular issues. But I said that I do not trust these negotiations and I am not optimistic about them. However, if they want to negotiate, they can. And by Allah's favor, we will not suffer a loss in these negotiations. The Iranian nation benefits from a certain experience which I will refer to in brief. The experience will increase the intellectual capability in our nation, like the experience that we gained in the year 1382 and 83 in the area of suspending our enrichment activities. At that time, during negotiations with the Europeans, the Islamic Republic agreed to suspend its enrichment activities for a while, but this turned out to be to our benefit. Why? It is because we found out that there is no hope at all that our Western partners will cooperate with us if we suspend our enrichment activities. If we had not accepted that optional suspension, of course, it was imposed in a way, but we and our officials accepted it anyway. Some people would have said, if you had retreated a little bit, all problems would have been solved and Iran's nuclear file would have become normal. That act of suspending our enrichment activities brought us this advantage. It became clear that problems will not be solved by retreating, suspending enrichment activities, postponing our work, and canceling many of our plans and programs. It became clear that the other side is after something else. We noticed this, and therefore, we started our enrichment activities again. Today, the condition of the Islamic Republic has dramatically changed compared to its condition in the year 1382. In those days, we used to bargain for 2-3 centrifuges, but today, several thousand centrifuges are working. Our youth, our scientists, our researchers, and our officials made great efforts and moved things forward. Today we will not suffer a loss as a result of today's ongoing negotiations. Of course, as I said, I am not optimistic and I do not think that these negotiations will produce the results which the Iranian nation expects. However, it is an experience. This will broaden and strengthen the experience of the Iranian nation. It is all right to hold these negotiations, but it is necessary for the Iranian nation to be vigilant. We strongly support our officials, who are active in the camp of diplomacy, but our people should be vigilant. They should know what is happening, so that some mercenary promoters of the enemy and some promoters who receive no rewards and who further the goals of the enemy out of naivety cannot mislead public opinion. They want to instill the idea into the minds of our people that if we surrender to the other side on the nuclear issue, all economic, financial, and other such problems will be solved. This is one of the methods which they use, and one of the lies which they spread, and they are promoting this idea. Of course, foreign promoters promote such ideas with very efficient methods. Inside the country too, some people promote the idea that if we back down and surrender to the other side on this nuclear issue, all economic and other such problems will be solved. Some of these people do it out of naivety, without any bad intentions, while others do it intentionally. However, this idea is wrong. Why is it wrong? There are a few reasons why. I would like you, including the people who are present in this meeting, our wise, well-informed, and highly motivated youth, and our university and school students throughout the country, to think about such issues. As I once said, you are the officers of the soft war. One reason is that the enmity of America towards the Iranian nation and the Islamic Republic is not at all about the nuclear issue. It is wrong to think that America's hostility towards us is based only on the nuclear issue. This is not the case. The nuclear issue is an excuse. Even long before the nuclear issue, that is to say, since the beginning of the revolution, these hostilities and oppositions existed. Even if one day the nuclear issue is resolved, imagine that the Islamic Republic retreats, which is one thing they want. You should not think that these hostilities will be over. No, they will gradually make tens of other excuses. For example, they will say, why do you have missiles? Why do you have drones? Why are you on unfriendly terms with the Zionist regime? Why do you not officially recognize the Zionist regime? Why do you support resistance groups in, as they call it, the Middle East region? And why, and why, and why? The issue is not that they have disagreements with the Islamic Republic about its nuclear program. This is not the case. America's sanctions began since the beginning of the revolution, and these sanctions increased on a daily basis so much so that today it has reached a high level. They showed other kinds of hostility as well. They brought down a plane which belonged to the Islamic Republic and they killed 290 humans. During the early years of the revolution, when the people were still enthusiastic about the victory of the revolution, they launched the coup d'etat based in Shahid Noja military base. They launched a coup d'etat against the revolution, and they supported anti-revolutionary elements in different corners of the country. They gave weapons and other such things to the anti-revolutionary camp. This is the same thing that they did in other countries later on. Their enmity is not based on the nuclear issue. The issue is something else. The Iranian nation said no to the requests of America. The Iranian nation said that America cannot do a single thing against us. The Americans are opposed to the identity of the Islamic Republic. They are opposed to the influence and power of the Islamic Republic. Recently, one of the American politicians and intellectuals said, his speech was broadcasted, and this is not a confidential issue, that Iran is dangerous, no matter if it is atomic or non-atomic. This person openly said that the influence and power of Iran, as they say, the hegemony of Iran, is dangerous in the region. This is the kind of Iran which enjoys dignity, respect, and power today. They are opposed to this kind of Iran. They will be satisfied when Iran becomes a weak, abandoned, isolated, untrustworthy, and humiliated nation. Their enmity is not based on the nuclear issue. This is one point. Another point is that in order to solve the economic issues of the country, all of our efforts should be focused on domestic issues. The kind of progress and the kind of solution is valuable which is reliant on the domestic power of a nation. If a people rely on their own power and capabilities, they will no more descend into chaos when another country frowns at them and imposes sanctions upon them. We should solve this. All that we want to say to officials, whether past or present officials, is that they should look at the domestic capabilities in order to resolve the issues and the problems of the country, including economic problems. We have certain capacities in this country. These capacities, which include human, natural, and geographical resources, and regional location, should all be utilized. Of course, we support diplomatic dynamism. When we say problems should be solved from the inside, this does not mean that we should close our eyes, that we should not benefit from the diplomatic dynamism, and that we should not interact with the world. Diplomatic dynamism and diplomatic presence are very necessary. The officials who do these things are part of the work, but we should rely on domestic issues. In diplomatic arenas, that country can be successful which relies on its innate power. That government which relies on its innate power and innate capacities can make others accept what it says at the negotiating table and achieve the desired results. Such governments are taken into consideration. An important point which should receive attention in this regard is that we have never become desperate in the face of our enemies during these years, and we never will. During the first decade after the revolution, particularly during the first years, we did not have access to many material resources. We did not have money, weapons, experience, organization, competent armed forces, and we did not have military equipment. This was while our enemy was at the peak of its power and capability, whether the enemy which fought against us in the arena of war or the enemy which stood behind him, that is to say, the Ba'ath regime of Saddam and America, NATO and the Soviet Union of those days. At that time, the Reagan administration was one of the strongest and most powerful governments throughout the world in political and military arenas. This was while we lived in poverty and with difficult conditions, but they could not do anything to us. Today, the situation has changed. Today, the Islamic Republic has weapons, money, science, technology, the power to produce, and international dignity. It has millions of youth who are ready to work, and it has millions of talents. Today, we have such a condition. Today, our condition cannot at all be compared with 30 years ago. This is while the situation is the exact opposite of this for the opposing camp. In those days, the Americans were at the peak of their power, but today they are not. Recently, one of the current American government officials, who is a well-known personality, said that today, America has reached a point where its friends do not respect it and its enemies do not fear it. It was he who said this, not us. They themselves mention such things. Recently, they have had some political problems. You have seen the disagreement of American politicians about the government's budget, which shut down the government for 16 to 17 days. They sent 800,000 employees on involuntary leave. This is a weakness. This is inefficiency. They have the biggest economic and financial problems. Our problems are nothing compared to theirs. And I will tell you that in the year 2001 or 2002 of the Christian calendar, that is to say, 10 or 11 years ago, the financial officials of America made a certain prediction. They predicted that in the year 2011 or 2012, they would have a surplus of $14 trillion. Pay careful attention to this. In 2001, their prediction for 2011 and 2012 was this. They said that they would have a surplus of $14 trillion. Now, it is 2013, but they have a deficit of around $17 trillion and they do not have any surplus. That is to say, they miscalculated this figure up to $30 trillion. This is their economic condition. This is the way they calculate, and this is the condition of the opposing camp. Moreover, as you can see, they have many disagreements. It is mutual interests which have connected them, the Americans and the Europeans, to one another. Otherwise, deep inside, they are on unfriendly terms. The French nation hates the Americans. In different events, such as the issue of Syria, the Americans could not establish a partnership with a government which has the closest relationship with them. That is to say, even the English said that they could not take part in this issue. This is while about 40 governments cooperated with them when they attacked Iraq. When they attacked Afghanistan, about 30 governments cooperated with them. The Americans have such a condition in the present time. We have a very good condition. We have made progress, and we have become powerful, and our people have become a well-informed people. Of course, they exert pressures on us. We should endure and pass through these pressures by relying on our domestic capabilities. This is a wise thing to do, and it is being done. Of course, as I said earlier, and I would like to repeat this, we approve of the efforts that the Honorable Administration and the officials of the country are making. This is an important task and they experience. This is an important task and experience, and it is most probably a valuable course of action. They can do this. If they achieve results, then so much the better. But if they do not, this should mean that the country must stand on its own feet in order to solve its problems. I would like to repeat my previous advice. You should not trust the enemy which smiles at you. We would like to offer this advice to our officials who are our children. Those officials who are working in the arena of diplomacy are our own children and our own youth. This is our advice to them. You should take care not to be misled by a deceptive smile. You should see the subtleties of the enemy's plan. Today, the Americans have the most troubles with the deviated Zionist regime, more than any other regime. They have the most consideration for Zionist lobbies. They show consideration for them, and we see the situation. The claws of wealthy and powerful Zionist individuals and companies have such domination over the U.S. government and the U.S. Congress that they have to show consideration for them. We do not have to show consideration for the Zionists. Since day one, we said, and we say it today, and we will continue to say it, that we consider the Zionist regime to be an illegal regime. It is a regime which has come into being with conspiracy, and it is being preserved and guarded with conspiracy and conspirational policies. The Americans show consideration for this regime. The reason why they do this requires another detailed discussion. The money, power, and capital of the Zionists is doing a good job, and it is influencing these poor Americans. Therefore, the Americans have to show some consideration for them. It is not only the Americans who have such a condition. Many other Western politicians, these poor creatures, have the same problem. They too have the same problem. Therefore, our officials should pay attention and they should look at their statements. On the one hand, they smile and they show interest in negotiations, and on the other hand, they immediately say, all options are on the table. So what? What move can they make against the Islamic Republic? If they are serious about these negotiations, they should control themselves. They should stop those people who opened their mouths to speak nonsense. A certain wealthy American politician had the audacity to say that they should drop an atomic bomb in such and such a desert in Iran, and that they should issue such and such threats. Well, they should smash that person's mouth. A government which suffers from the delusion that it has a responsibility towards all the issues in the world, and a government which considers itself responsible for dealing with the nuclear issue of such and such a country, should not dare to issue nuclear threats, particularly in such a time, against a country with such a good condition. They should stop these people who speak nonsense. Anyways, our people are, thankfully, a vigilant people, and our officials are the officials of these people. They, too, are vigilant and paying full attention. We support whatever action which is to the benefit of the country, and we support, help, and pray for those officials who carry out such actions. But we also advise both the people and the officials, particularly you dear youth, to open your eyes and ears. Any nation can achieve its lofty goals with wisdom, vigilance, and watchfulness. I hope that by Allah's favor, the prayers of the Imam of the Age, may our souls be sacrificed for his sake, will be a source of support for you. And I hope that the immaculate soul of Imam and the pure souls of our martyrs pray for you. By Allah's favor, you youth will take the country in your own hands with your enthusiastic spirits, and I hope that it will be your turn to reach the peaks with your innovation. Greetings be upon you, and Allah's mercy and blessings.